which later was formed based on Pope Institute. And the Standing Orphan School was located on Chapel Road in Nashville. Now, when Ms. Emma was first given the responsibility of the school, there were 20 day students and up to 15 orphan school residents. You would be interested to know that Standing Orphan School was founded and operated by Mrs. Charlotte Fall Fanning, the wife of Talbert Fanning. When the book, Franklin College and Its Influences, was being compiled, Emma was the one asked to write the chapter on the Standing Orphan School. Later, Emma wrote the book on the wonderful little lady who was born in London, England, the wife of Brother Talbert Fanning, Charlotte Fall Fanning, a remarkable little lady. The Seminary for Girls, which was located at Franklin College. This school was later to influence the right named after David Lipscomb. And so, in the David Lipscomb's work, the college there and the work there, and Emma was very close to her and helped her. In 1854 when Thomas Campbell died, the year before the Gospel Advocate was formed. 1855, he may have been the one who asked Emma to write what was called the Honor and the Gospel Advocate. She wrote this for many years. And in this column in the Advocate, she provided spiritual exercise for the minds of children, and she taught many of them while they were young to be regular readers of the Gospel Advocate. Let me give you an example. H.A. Dixon, who was president of Freed Hardeman College here for several years, once said, and I quote, "I can well remember being keenly interested in the children's corner in my early days." Later in life, she wrote a charming little book called Maine to Mexico and Canada to Cuba. Though I have not read this book, I've heard much about it. It's like the other books about Larimore, out of print at present. But after becoming the wife of one of the foremost evangelists of that time, T.B. Larimore, Emma described for her little children corner readers of the Gospel Advocate what it was like traveling to different places to preach the gospel. And who can doubt that this impressed young minds with the fact that the gospel is for all and that it needs to be preached everywhere. And things need to be written by you women and other women today and published in the Gospel Advocate for children today. I think it has a place, as it did in the minds of many young people at that time. Talbert Fanning, who had also founded Franklin College, had taught T.B. Larimore in Franklin College and influenced him very much. Earl West says in Volume 1 of the Search for the Ancient Order, "Unquestionably the most influential preacher in the Southland or between the states was Talbert Fanning." And Emma then had a contact with that family, both Talbert and Charlotte Fall. One other influential person Fanning influenced was David Lipscomb. Lipscomb was baptized by Brother Fanning. Brother Talbert Fanning did a lot of preaching down in North Alabama, where I'm from. Brother T.B. Larimore also established a school in that area. And remarkably, that's one of the areas in the world that has more New Testament Christians per population than anywhere else in the world. Up in David Lipscomb College, or up in Davidson County, rather, at Nashville, there are more churches per geographical area than any place in the world. Now, David Lipscomb continued Talbert Fanning's work of the Christian education and also his work with the Gospel Advocate. This, then, has Emma Page having a contact with the Advocate, David Lipscomb, Talbert Fanning, the origin of Christian education in Middle Tennessee. So, just in that alone, she's a remarkable individual and able to tell us things that were going on then. Now, after preaching a while, T.B. Larimore founded and operated for 17 years a school in Florence, Alabama, which he called Mars Hill Bible School. Two of Larimore's boys, that's what they were called, he had a lot of boys that he called his preacher boys. Two of Larimore's boys from Mars Hill, F.D. Shrigley and J.C. McQuitty, were prominent writers of the Gospel Advocate. So you see, she has another connection with the famous Larimore boys that helped preach the gospel, especially in the South. T.B. Larimore admired Talbert Fanning, and Emma Page admired Charlotte. And from this fact alone, their paths were bound to cross. T.B. Larimore had been married to Esther Gresham Larimore from 1868 until 1907. They were married 39 years. And seven children were born to this union. Some of you have heard of Granville Larimore, Virgil Larimore, and perhaps others. Esther, his first wife, was called the Mother of Mars Hill. She really bore the burden and the heat of the day. Brother Larimore would be gone on meetings. And then his heavy work at the school and his correspondence kept him busy night and day. And Sister Esther Gresham did a remarkable job. Now, she died in 1907, and Brother Larimore canceled all his meetings, came home and spent the last few months with her, by her bedside, and stayed right with her. And after she died, he was just very sad and didn't do much for a good while. Then slowly he began his meeting work again. He had been begged for many years, come and hold meetings, and he would get letters on top of letters asking him to come and hold a meeting. And he would just cry because he had all the work to do at Mars Hill, training young preachers. But then after 7 years of praying about that and agonizing over what he should do, he left the schoolwork at Mars Hill and gave his full time to working and preaching the gospel. There are many interesting stories about meetings that he preached. He preached 333 sermons down in Sherman, Texas. The meeting lasted for 22 weeks. I forget how many additions to the church there were, but a large number. And he held a large meetings like this in many places. We don't have many 22-week meetings anymore, even 6-week meetings or 4-week meetings. Brother Larimore did and baptized hundreds. T.B. and Emma Larimore were married 4 years after Esther died in the year 1911. An interesting thing about the date on which they got married, the wedding took place on the first day of the year, January 1, the first day of the month, the first day of the week, and almost the first hour of the day. A little after 6 o'clock, and T.B. Larrimore called it a number one wedding in all respects. Emma was married to Brother Larrimore for about 18 years. She was 56 when they married. I'd have to calculate how old he was at that time. He died when he was 88 or 86. She died after him when she was 88. F.L. Rowe wrote in the Gospel Advocate, May 16, 1929, of the relationship of Brother and Sister Larrimore as a love and devotion that gives the world one of the most beautiful pictures of ideal companionship. I have a volume here somewhere that will show the last picture that she and Brother Larrimore made. And when it comes to me in which volume that's in, I'll show that to you. Here is Sister Emma Page when she was older, and I believe this was also made during the last picture taking session that they had. They were a grand looking old couple. Brother Hardiman, here's a picture of him as a young preacher. This was when he was at Mars Hill Bible School. You can tell in this picture of Brother and Sister Larrimore that they were a grand looking couple, old and had weathered the years, but were very happy and content. They were living in California at that time. Now, an interesting thing, especially to me, is that in 1914 and 1915, the Larrimores moved to Henderson, Tennessee. And while T.B. Larrimore taught at Freed Hardeman College and preached at the Henderson congregation and also held meetings, Emma, I'm sure, was busy writing and taking care of Brother Larrimore. They lived in the Baldy Mansion, which is located just across the street here from the new Bible Communication World Evangelism building. And Brother C.P. Rowland told me, though he was not here at that time, he had already gone to school here and was off at Peabody getting a degree, that they lived with the R.P. Meeks. Well, who is R.P. Meeks? R.P. Meeks was the one that baptized Brother M.D. Hardiman. Well, your next question is, what connection does T.B. and Emma have with R.P. Meeks and N.B. Hardiman? Well, I can answer that question in this way. First of all, R.P. Meeks' wife was Mary Frances Larrimore, the sister of T.B. Larrimore. And there's a remarkable statement in this book by Sister R.P. Meeks, Hearthstone Echoes. She writes a little story about how that she was growing up, and she writes the story as if she was in love with this teacher that had come to teach in their community. And as she gets toward the end of the story, it ends up that it's T.B. Larrimore, her older brother, who taught her the multiplication table as they were walking home from school. In the classroom, however, he treated her just like any other student. It's a beautiful little story. But they were brother and sister, Sister R.P. Meeks. Again, R.P. Meeks, the preacher, preached in this area, Adamsville, Henderson, and converted N.B. Hardiman. So, there's a connection with Hardiman. There's a connection with R.P. Meeks. Incidentally, after the division came in the Christian Church and the Church of Christ here, R.P. Meeks came down on the side of the Christian Church, unfortunately. Fellowship, the instrumental music, whereas Brother Freed and Brother Hardiman would not and did not. There's a picture in the back of the book by about Brother Andy of Mrs. Will Baldy, T.V. and Emma, and N.B. Hardiman. I'm going to pass this around. I believe they're there at Mount Vernon, George Washington's home. This moment, tell you the connection between the Baldies and the R.P. Meeks, but there's some family connection. Perhaps some of you could enlighten me on that. You'd be interested to know, it would be the top picture on the left-hand side, L.L. Brigham, who taught here for many years, wrote in August 6, 1914, issue of the Gospel Advocate, of the coming of Brother and Sister Larimore to Freed Hardiman College. Brother Brigham said, it is possible that he, speaking of Larimore, has preached more sermons to more different audiences and baptized more people than any man now living. We congratulate ourselves, now listen to this, on the coming of him and his cultured wife into our midst, and feel that their presence and labors with us will be a great blessing to the school, the church, the town, and the country in general. Now, I'm sure that was the case. Now, as far as I know, they remained here only 1 year, but I'll tell in just a moment how some of that year went. I have not worked through the rest of the issue of the Gospel Advocate, that how Brother Hardiman was doing, but I'm sure he was doing a great job the whole year. Now, to give an idea of this, Larimore, when he preached a six-week meeting at the South College Street Church in Nashville in 1887, guess how many baptisms there were? 121 baptisms in one gospel meeting. He would do this in many places, baptize scores of people. Now, one of the first things that T.B. Larimore did was to preach a meeting at the Henderson Church. A.G. Freed reported October 1914 that the meeting here at Henderson continues. We are now entering the third week. 11 have been baptized and one restored. Brother Larimore is doing the preaching. He is true to the book. School is good. These brief notes by Brother A.G. Freed tell the story. I can just get the feeling of the school year starting off that year at the same time having a gospel meeting over the Henderson congregation. David Lipscomb once said about Brother Larimore that he came nearer to the Bible and his preaching than any man I know. What connection does Emma have with this? Well, because Emma would take down these sermons in shorthand. She was a stenographer. And because she helped edit them, she would send copies to Brother Larimore. Before they married, he was in Florence. He would make notes on them. She would redo them, and the Gospel Advocate would publish them. I'm sure that's the way they met, because Brother F.D. Strickley, when he died, the Gospel Advocate asked Emma to publish them or edit them. Well, because Emma did that, we now have the son of Brother Larimore. And he will loom larger in history, and his preaching will live longer. But besides all that, she provided a great service, especially to her generation, by helping them get copies of the sermon. Looking back to the Gospel Advocates, Brother West, see chastisement. You see a picture in the Gospel Advocate, these old sermon books, the three volumes of letters and sermons of P.B. Larimore. It was Emma who did this. And it was a labor of love. She did the first one before they married in 1904. They married in 1911. Well, as a matter of fact, she did all three of them before 1911. She completed the next two by 1910. So she had done all three of the regular letters before they married. I suppose by that much correspondence, they got to know each other and appreciate each other in that way. One time I read of a young man who was interested in a young lady. He wrote her a postcard every day for a whole year. After the end of the year, she married the postman. Well, communication and contact made them to love each other and appreciate each other. And they married 4 years after his first wife died. After Larimore's death, she wrote and published another volume. This one is titled The Life, Letters, and Sermons of P.B. Larimore. This one was done in 1931. These three would have correspondences that he would send to Gospel Advocate, the Christian Leader, and the Firm Foundation. He always, every week, well not always, but he tried every week to write some note to each of those three papers. And somewhere in one of these books it tells why he did that. And he listed the Gospel Advocate first, and he called it the Old Reliable. And you can see in his appreciation back to Talbert Fanning and the help of the Gospel Advocate in getting Churches of Christ established in the South and combating instrumental music and worship and the missionary societies that were then plaguing the church and causing digression. This one in 1931 will give more of the life than the other three, but the common pattern is to do this. First, she will give a sermon, print the sermon, and then she will have a chapter on letters on a certain topic. Then she'll do another sermon. Then she'll do more letters. And in some of them, well, she will show pictures, which are very interesting, tell instances of his preaching tours and such like. While I'm speaking about that, the little book, which I've not been able to get, entitled From Maine to Mexico, Canada to Cuba, tells about things for her little readers on the preaching tours. This little book is the one she did also on the life work of Mrs. Charlotte Fanning. And this is a book which is a great sermon book by the man who baptized Indy Hardiman, R.P. Meeks. At the feet of Jesus. Now these sermons are of great worth, and I've heard them commended. I'm sure Brother Hardiman gleaned things from those sermons. In these books of sermons, I mentioned the pattern, but now next I would like to say, Brother Hardiman would not have done that himself. Brother Larimore would not have written about himself and had it published. He may have said something about himself to one of the papers. But it took someone like Emma, who would take the pains and the time to put this into a publishable form in a book. Without Emma, we wouldn't have that. Brother Larimore was too modest, and also he was too busy to do this. The Larimores moved to California in 1920 to evangelize along the West Coast. He died in 1929, having preached the gospel for 64 years. Now, F.C. Sowell said of Emma, after Brother Larimore's death, quote, "Her beautiful, intelligent Christian life made his latter days more useful and happy." Her stepson, Virgil, said of her, "A more selfish, self-sacrificing, and efficient helpmeet never existed." Quite a commendation from a stepson. In the December issue of the 1933 Gospel Advocate, it was announced that the third volume of the Letters and Sermons of Larimore were being reprinted, and that the Gospel Advocate was giving her the money. You can just imagine what it was like after Brother Larimore died, and it was difficult for her to get by. And she had not been receiving any remuneration, as far as I know, for this, but they gave her the profits from this book. And that was a good and proper thing to do. Sister Emma died April 23, 1943, at Santa Ana, California. Her obituary appeared in the Gospel Advocate August 26, 1943. You can read that, and it will tell some about her life. I don't know of Brother J.E. Thornberry of Loretta, Tennessee, but he's the one who wrote Emma's obituary for the Gospel Advocate. As you see, I've had to glean these things from many different sources and piece them together. Nothing ever formal has been written about her. And I share Sister Alma Biggs' dilemma when she said, "Where will I find something on her?" It was her pattern to hardly say anything about herself. And so you look at these books on the first volume and you say, "Who put this out?" And in the second volume, the same way. You just have her name, Emma Page. And if you saw that and you say, who's Emma Page? In the third volume, I'm sure they pressured her and made her put her picture in the book. Here's a picture of her. Beautiful lady, and she was a very Christian worker. Emma Page was closely associated with several prominent families in the Church of Christ in the South, such as the Fannings and the Larimores. Her most important family connection, of course, was with the family of God. It was what brought her together with many others, which are still important to you and me. Let me review for you, for instance, how Emma's life touched many important people and institutions in the South. Talbert Fanning, the Gospel Advocate, T.B. Larimore, and through Larimore, Mars Hill Bible School. Then David Lipscomb College. N.B. Hardiman. I didn't mention A.G. Freed, but we could add A.G. Freed. And later, Freed Hardiman College. Can you think of a person who's had quite that many connections on their early starting out years and their formative years? Shortly before her death, although she was almost blind, she cared for an older lady who could not care for herself. This was the pattern of her life. Emma Page did for others what they could not do for themselves. Whether it was caring for little orphan children and teaching them like she did in Nashville, or writing down and publishing the sermons of T.B. Larimore, are teaching children in other ways, and helping Brother Larimore to remain healthy and preach the gospel, she she nobly fulfilled a work for the Lord. I could add points about how he began churches in California and in different places. And with a man with such quality as he had, was called the Prince of Preachers, the most valuable servant of the Lord, Emma helped